Praise be Jesus Christ. This talk on the Catholic Catechism of the Catholic Church, Father John Hardin of the Society of Jesus gave on March 20th, 1994 at Our Lady of Mount Carmel Church in Detroit, Michigan. Father speaks of the great privilege the laity has in spreading the faith as a gift from God. But we must be prepared before we teach others the faith as found in the parable of the sowers. Behold, the sowers went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and ate it up. Jesus went on to say, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom but does not understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is he who has been sown by the wayside. And the one sown on rocky ground, that is he who hears the word and receives it immediately with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but continues only for a time. And when trouble and persecution come because of the word, he at once falls away. And the one sown among the thorns, that is he who listens to the word, but the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it is made fruitless. And the one sown upon good ground, that is he who hears the word and understands it. He bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60-fold, in another 30-fold. This tape is the start of the Roman Catholic Media Apostolate. God bless you, and thank you for your patronage.
Account, the most critical in the history of Christianity. The decades since 1900 are more than so many years, and might just as well apply to any other period. They mark the beginning of a new age in human civilization. Now let's say also of Christianity. You might say, what does this have to do with our subject? And the answer is, everything. Unless we realize the gravity of the crisis through which the church is going, then we risk looking at the Catechism of the Catholic Church as either just another book or another piece of religious literature. It is not. This catechism is of historic importance. Depending on how seriously we, and especially you lay Catholics, take it, then the future of the Catholic Church will be shaped accordingly. God never permits any evil without a corresponding good, greater good, somehow following from the evil. If then the church is passing through the most serious crisis of 2,000 years of our history, then we should expect the 21st century to be the most glorious in all the 2,000 years since Calvary. The Holy Father, in giving us this catechism, is providing us with the opportunity of helping to make not just the 21st century, but please God, the next 20 centuries all the more glorious because of the massive convulsion through which the church is now passing. My plan is to cover three aspects of our subject. Each aspect will begin with the word understanding. Understanding the content or the what of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and why this certainly applies to all the laity. I would add, knowing the bishops and priests so well, it also applies to the clergy, understanding the content of the Catholic faith as found in the Catechism. Secondly, understanding the importance or the why of this Catechism. I know of no catechism in the Church's history that will be more important, provided, I repeat, we understand both its contents and its purpose, and with emphasis, which is part three, understanding our obligation, and speaking to you lay people, your obligation to put this gift of God into not just practice for ourselves, but in a way you may never have thought of yourselves before, as catechists, teaching the faith to others. All of these three factors, the what, the why, and the how, have special relevance to our country. Our nation needs to be re-evangelized, and the Catholic laity have a providential, I want to add, a grave providential responsibility for the re-evangelization, which I like to call the reconversion of America. First then, understanding the faith taught by the Catechism. The Catechism of the Catholic Church is not a mere collection of doctrines. It provides the groundwork for understanding what we Catholics are to believe and how what we believe is to be put into practice. The Holy Spirit guiding the Church knows that the modern world is the most academically sophisticated in history. And our nation is the most educated country in all the centuries of the human race. Our annual average in our American colleges and universities is over 5 million students. As a result, Americans are very educated. However, most Catholics in America are not, what a safe statement, too educated in their faith. They know, oh, how much they know about science and mathematics and history and psychology. Well, these same Americans can be, while being overeducated in the secular sciences can be pathetically uneducated in their understanding of their faith. So what happens? By the time Catholics finish even their high school, they look back at their instruction in religion, and consequently they're now being so educated they put away their faith as a remnant of their childhood. The Catechism provides the beginning. When I consider the single greatest Catholic need in America today to understand what we believe, remember the parable in the 13th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Our Lord is talking about the sower who went out to sow his seed. All good seed, but it fell on different kinds of ground. Only the fourth kind of ground produced any fruit. The first ground was the highway. It fell on the pathway, the seed, and as Christ said, the birds of the air came along and picked it up, and nothing grew. When the disciples asked our Lord to explain, he did. There is no more important lesson in the Gospels today for us Catholics in America, said Jesus. Those symbolized by the seed falling along the pathway are the persons who, having received the Word of God into their hearts, fail to understand it, and therefore the devil comes along and steals the Word of God from their hearts. There has never been a substitute for understanding our Christian religion. There is no substitute today. But now this understanding is absolutely imperative. The world in which we live, and with emphasis our own beloved America, is hell-bent on stealing from our hearts what we believe. That is why the Catechism of the Catholic Church, with which I worked from the beginning on the commission, it is such a providential godsend. It provides a believing Catholic not only with information of what we are to believe, but hear it. It explains the meaning of what we believe. Of course, the Catechism is only a beginning, but how we need to know, how we need to understand what we believe. I gave lectures in Pennsylvania, Eastern Pennsylvania, yesterday. And on my flight back from Harrisburg, to Detroit. One of the airline attendants, a man I'd say in his 30s, after the plane was on its way, he came next to me. He asked me what language my divine office was written in. I said, Latin. Are you a Catholic priest? I sure am. Then he said, I used to be a Catholic. For the next 40 minutes, I talked to this man. My heart went out to him. And his name, oh no, his name was John. College graduate. He hardly knew the ABCs of the Catholic faith. So I took his card, private telephone number, told him I'd pray for him. You pray for me too. He said he would. And he is from Bloomfield Hills. I will let him go pray for the conversion of John. Second area of our reflections. Understanding why this catechism is so important. It is one thing to know speculatively or theoretically what Catholics are supposed to believe. It is much more to know where to find the true faith expressed in straightforward, unambiguous language. Where can you go today? Where to find out what the Catholic Church still believes and we Catholics are still supposed to do? Where? Well, the terrible Dutch catechism was published in English in the United States. A bishop friend of mine gave the imprimatur to that awful catechism. We were in a meeting together. I said, Bishop, whatever possessed you to give the imprimatur for this book? It denies every single basic article of the Catholic faith. The bishop told me, I never read the manuscript. Part of my work for the church requires that I read books by professed Catholics which show how deep this confusion really is. Let me just read two quotations. I could quote 200. The first is from a book on the Holy Eucharist, widely used in the United States. The author is speaking of the Mass as a memorial of the Last Supper. Says the author, I quote, the Church recreates the Last Supper by bringing followers of Jesus together and recalling through worship and prayers what God has done for His people. Then the priest announces what Jesus said and did at the Last Supper, and himself offers bread and on some occasions wine for the people. Then he asks, "Is Jesus present?" And he answers, "Yes." I'm quoting, "Jesus is present because the bread and wine symbolize Christ's body and blood." Unquote. My next quotation. This time from a book recently published with the title The Vatican and Homosexuality. It's a book full of articles by Catholics protesting the Holy See's strong criticism of homosexuality. I'm quoting from an outstanding woman, American in the United States, and a professed lesbian. She writes, "The document of the Holy See condemning homosexuality was promulgated with no prior consultation with lesbian and gay Catholics. How are we to interpret a document which demeans our very existence by calling us disordered and our loving sexual expressions moral evil?" How can the Vatican dare to call such a document pastoral? And interwoven in this document are long articles by members of the American hierarchy. Someone, somewhere, in the church founded by Christ must be in a position to tell the faithful, "This is true and that is false. This is morally good and that is morally bad." Otherwise, the very existence of the Catholic Church in our country is in danger, and the survival of the one true church founded by the Son of God is, and the safest statement I can make, in jeopardy. You don't close 62 parishes in the Archdiocese of Chicago. You don't close 42 parishes in the Archdiocese of Detroit without a reason. This is the reason. In many dioceses of our country, attendance at Sunday Mass is down to 25% or less of the registered Catholics in a parish. Some Catholic Church sociologists are scrambling for an answer and a solution, and they're recommending the most bizarre explanations. It never seems to dawn on these, quote, experts that the heart of the problem is the massive uncertainty, confusion in millions of Catholic minds about what is the unchangeable faith and what is unchangeable moral principle. That is why, and the Catechism is finally being published, I got word from Rome Friday morning, June the 22nd, that's the date. Finally, at long last, the English translation will be available. But I have one more part left. It's the most important that I want to share with you. When I call understanding the how to use the Catechism. We've said, and I want to emphasize, the Catechism is not only for bishops. The Catechism is not a reference book to be bought and put on the shelf. The Catechism is an indispensable arm of instruction on every level of the Catholic faith, and what I am emphasizing, the teaching apostolate. You parents teaching your children, gone is the day when you can depend on Catholic magazines or Catholic newspapers or even Catholic books to be sure that we are teaching your children is what Christ wants them to be taught. That is why we now have, thank God, a one-volume reservoir of Catholic truth and morality for everyone who wants to, first of all, preserve the faith for himself and wants to share that faith with others. The question, however, is how to use the Catechism. In this, the apostolate of evangelization, I have five recommendations addressed especially to the laity. Each of these recommendations deserves an hour of commentary. Be satisfied with just a few minutes or each one. First, know the Catechism. Our most fundamental duty is to know the Catechism. How do you know anything, especially as in this case, in writing? By reading. reading alone, reading and discussing with others. But make sure, my friends, make sure those with whom you discuss the catechism are honest-to-God Catholics. Oh, the number of hypocrites hiding behind the name Catholic. Speed reading of the catechism would be self-defeating. If anything, the catechism should be not only read, but carefully meditated on, as I have been doing for years. I couldn't count the hours I've spent in chapel before the Blessed Sacrament, reading, meditating on, and asking our Lord to help me understand. How much time people waste in reading fiction or worse. 90% of all the reading that Americans do, 90% is fiction. Their minds are never fed on the truth. And the truth is the mind possessing reality. Most Americans are living in a dream world. First, then, know the catechism. Open the mind to reality. Secondly, trust the catechism. Already by now, meetings at big name, nominally Catholic universities have been held, undercutting the catechism, whole books written opposing the catechism. And critics from both sides. Critics who say that the Pope is not in contact with, say, biblical scholarship. I just brought with me the latest document of the Holy Father. It is all on the Bible. I got a computer printout from the Vatican yesterday. Again, critics that are uncomfortable with the catechism being so heavily dependent on the Second Vatican Council. Now you know the problem. Most Catholics don't know the real Second Vatican Council. Pay no attention to these critics. To distrust the catechism is to play into the hands of the devil, who fears nothing more than security of doctrine among the followers of Jesus Christ. Third recommendation, adapt the catechism. The catechism is not too heavy reading. By the way, I like to see children in chapel. And the younger the better. And I would add, and the louder the better. And that catechism has to be adapted for ourselves and in teaching others to those whom we wish to nourish with a true faith. Now we get deeper. Live the catechism. It is no prosaic platitude. Teaching the true faith, you parents to your children, catechists to those whom they instruct, and we Catholics, we should never let a single opportunity go by without sharing our faith with the one we're talking to. I would like to give all of you an assignment. Today is March the 20th, 1994, right? I want all of you, you may hesitate putting up your hands, I want all of you to put up your hand, and with God's grace, you'll do everything in our power to bring at least one non-Catholic into the Catholic Church by March the 20th, 1995. How many will do their best? And the hardest to convert are the fallen away Catholics, right? If we're going to share the faith with others, we have no option. We must live with the faith ourselves. And it is not merely a matter of good example. It is much deeper. Hear it. We are to reproduce ourselves, every one of us, including priests like me, who vow themselves to a life of celibacy. We are all to reproduce ourselves in spirit. If I didn't believe that, I would never have told the wonderful girl that I dated through 4 years of college. The Sunday before I entered the novitiate on Wednesday, I took her out for dinner. Said, "Joe, I'm entering the novitiate next Wednesday." She had the wedding date set. How stupid can a man be? I told her that at the beginning of the meal. She never touched the food. We are all to reproduce ourselves, hear it, in spirit. One of the most powerful statements of St. Paul, writing to those Christians whom he had converted, "In Christ Jesus I have begotten you." Everyone in church today has the faith because someone who had the faith shared the faith with us, right? Only believers reproduce believers. And the more deep our faith, the more faithfully we live it, the more, what a statement, the more productive we'll be. And fertility of spirit is a reality. I was in India with Mother Teresa and her sisters this past January. I became a Jesuit because I so admired St. Francis Xavier. Yes, he was sent by Ignatius to India. He lasted 10 years. in 10 years, he converted and baptized over 100,000 people. We are asking ourselves, how are we to put this catechism of the Catholic Church into reproductive practice by living our faith? And let me tell you, living the Catholic faith in America today means suffering for the faith. Do you hear me? Suffering for the faith. You're living in the age of martyrs. More men, women, and even children have died for Christ since 1900 and all the 19 centuries before put together. And how happy I am to report, Spain alone has over 3,000 Jesuit martyrs of the 30s of this century. Wonderful, wonderful. That's the way you preserve the faith and propagate it. Finally, how is the catechism and the faith it teaches to be used? By sharing what we have with others. My dear friends in Christ, none of us, not one of us, will get to heaven alone. Either we've helped others reach heaven, or we will not make it ourselves. What an examination of conscience many, if not all of us, have to make. We have the true faith. And you lay people, you have kept the faith in spite of so much. Reproduce yourselves in those whom you know, persons whom otherwise you may never meet. Go out to others. Use every means at your disposal to become apostles of Jesus Christ in our day. And for that, you will need, for the catechism will provide, all of this is locked up in the title with which we began this conference, Understanding the Catechism of the Catholic Church. The responsibility of the laity in America to re-evangelize, indeed reconvert our nation to Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, when the new world was founded, Christopher Columbus came to our shores in order, as he said, to bring the true faith to the pagan world. Dear Lord, you've been very good to our nation. We are the wealthiest country in the world. But we're also, dear Lord, very poor. So many of our fellow Americans have never known you. Many others have abandoned you. Give us, dear Jesus, the courage of the apostles to proclaim your name and that of your mother to our fellow Americans so that they and we may come one day to that everlasting Easter Sunday for which we were made. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening.